Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. When Marianne speaks with Louis, imprisoned by her father, Louis realizes that she has mistaken him for Lucien. He tells her so. And Marianne believes it is a subterfuge because he is ashamed of the fact that he had loved a Gadice. When he continues to deny that he is the brother, Marianne tears his shirt away, revealing the wound where he had tried to stab himself. The wound is over the heart, the exact place where his brother Lucien was stabbed. And Marianne thinks that this is irrefutable evidence. Her rage knows no limits. She strikes him across the face and tells him that she will exult in the lashing which is to take place.
That will show you what feelings I have for you. You can forget me so quickly because I'm a Gadice. I can not only forget you, I could witness your death.
Mademoiselle, if you can control yourself, please. If you can listen to me, bear with me for just a moment. It seems that you're my brother's friend. No more, you're in love with Lucien and he with you. Please then, be happy in the thought that it is I who will die and not Lucien.
You almost make me think that. But no, you're lying. Another trap to humiliate me, to torment me, to torture me, because you know that I've loved you. How could anyone be as alike as you pretend you are? How could anyone speak with the same voice, look with those same eyes, be scarred with the same wound? You liar. You unspeakable, incredible liar. I'm glad that you'll die tonight. If it gives you any satisfaction, it's true that when you left, my thoughts were still with you. Always. Every moment of the day. And at night, too. I couldn't sleep because of the sadness in my heart. I was a Gadice, you were a De Franchi. We could never be one. Then consolation came, in a dreamlike way. You and I together on a moonlit shore. Sunset. The sky like beaten brass. The moving sea with the same golden glow. The first star glittering in a deepening sky. And you and I standing against that sky. Your lips whispering in my ear. I love you. That was my dream that I knew would compensate for so much to lose in the real you. But now I know that even that is gone because you're not worth the dream. You are not worth even your own name as much as I hate it. If only you hadn't come back. If only you'd left me alone with my dream. Oh, you monster, I despise you, I hate you, you disgust me.
Mademoiselle, this is tragic. Don't think these things of Lucien, please. If I were not bound, I'd go down on my knees.
You'll go down on your knees, but you'll grovel when the lash bites deeply. That's how I feel now, Lucien de Franchi. You've killed my love because you've denied it. I am a Gadice. I am not good enough. Very well. We shall see who's strong enough.
Hurrying from the coach house, Marianne left a dumbfounded Louis. Never in all his experience had he known such an outburst from any human being. How was he to know that here was the wrath of a woman who had felt that she had been scorned, the vials of a blasting hate which can be so easily born of love if it is denied? How could he know that Marianne felt that a De Franchi was ignoring the past, ignoring the protestations of her love, pretending it had never happened? Marianne wasted no time and hurried at once to her father's private rooms. Dino was waiting there with his brother for the cousins who lived nearby when he heard an impatient tapping on the door.
That'll be our cousins. Come in. Why, Marianne?
How much longer do we have to wait?
I beg your pardon?
De Franchi, when is he to be flogged?
As soon as your cousins arrive.
Well, need we wait?
Why the hurry, Marianne? Besides, we want witnesses to tell the rest of the family. Don't forget that your father received a great humiliation when the De Franchi escaped on the last occasion.
But it's almost 11 o'clock. Get it done soon, please, soon.
Of course, Marianne, of course. You're upset, excited, perhaps.
Let me know when it's to be done. I shall be there, too.
But of course.
Who will use the lash? It should be the strongest servant in the household.
One servant? We'll use three.
Then let it be soon, please. This waiting for the clock to eke out the time. It's almost unbearable.
What extraordinary behavior.
She's not herself. Yet it was the same when the De Franchi was here before, remember?
Yes, of course. You've done your work well, Dino, bringing her up as you have, teaching her to hate the De Franchis from the time when she was first able to think.
But tonight she's wild, stray, almost uncontrollable. I've reared a strange child, Pietro. A very strange child.
Meanwhile, in the north of Corsica, in the house of Madame de Franchi, there is a contrasting atmosphere. Madame, sitting in a favorite chair in the long, gracious living room, was doing some needlework. Lucien had been sitting with her, but now had gone from the room. As her long, slender fingers worked over the linen and the thread, their movements became slower and slower. Her head began to nod, and then suddenly she heard her name.
Madame de Franchi.
Oh, it is you, Griffo. Where is Lucien? Has he gone to bed?
It's about Lucien that I've come to you, madame. Madame, have you noticed during the last few days Lucien has been behaving very strangely?
Lucien has been very near death. He escaped by a miracle. And his spirits are high, that is all.
But, madame, on the last two nights I've noticed that when the moon gleams, he leaves this room. He goes out into the garden and stands by the pool where the carp swim. And he looks up at the moon, madame, and his lips move.
Perhaps he is praying, Griffo.
At first, that is what I thought, madame. So tonight I took a liberty, madame. I went into the garden after him. Madame, I've served your family all my life. And I'm concerned over Lucien, because I know that even though he seems happy, he's not himself. It was then that I heard what he said.
And what did he say?
The same words that he used when he ambushed Marianne Gaudici in the pass at midnight. Like a pale blue mist. That's what he kept saying, madame. Your face is like a pale blue mist.
Griffo, I like this knot.
Nor do I, madame. He has told us that Marianne Gaudici set him free.
Unfortunately, for that we are in her debt.
But no, madame. It is only a debt that is settled. Because did not Lucien set Marianne free? Madame, surely the unthinkable could not have happened. You don't think that perhaps Lucien thinks of Marianne in a tender way?
No. How dare you say such words, Griffo? It is the moon. That's what it is, the moon.
I don't understand you, madame. The moon, you
yes,
say?
Yes, the moon does strange things, Griffo. You have lived in Corsica long enough to know that.
Uh-huh.
Take the dogs. Why do they always bay when the moon is full? The tides of the sea drawn into the shore, drawn out again, and all through the magic of the moon.
Aye, madame, I admit that, but can man be affected by the moon?
There is no other explanation. Lucien has been brought up to hate the Gaudici. For there are savages who dance in the moonlight. Witches do their work by the moon. Tales, legends, words, all come from the magic of the moon. Moonstruck. Moon the mad.
Moon mad. Aye, then perhaps the moon has woven its spell over Lucien. Perhaps, madame, its power over tides and animals and men hypnotizes Lucien. Oh, madame, he should not be out there, because such thoughts are unhealthy, madame. Why, if Lucien were to fall under the influence of this Marianne Gaudici...
She is no less than a witch.
But perhaps through the moon, madame, she is weaving a foul spell over him.
Is he still in the garden?
Aye, madame.
I will call him into the house. Wait till I open the windows.
Look, madame. Look, you. See? There in the pale light of the moon, you can see him now. Look. Down there, madame, by the brook.
Lucien. Lucien.
Yes, mother?
Will you come up here? I want you, my son.
I'm coming, mother.
Griffo. Make no mention of this. Lucien has been very ill. He has not the strength of body, the strength of mind to combat evil influences as yet.
I understand, madame. I understand.
It is well that you told me. We shall know now how to deal with this. Lucien must not be too much alone. Oh, there you are, Lucien. Come in, my son, and talk. Griffo came to keep me company because I was here all alone.
Were you, mother?
And you were in the garden all alone?
Yes, I was. Oh, it's a beautiful night outside. Half moon. In such a light, the leaves of the trees look as though they were frosted. Mother, what work is this you're doing?
Oh, it's some embroidery. Do you like it, my son?
Oh, Mother, what patience. What patience you have. Roses. Oh, indeed, every petal. Leaves. Even the veins. Oh.
What is the matter?
Oh.
Lucien.
Oh.
Lucien, what is it?
Oh, my back.
In heaven's name, Lucien.
Oh. The pain. Oh. Like a knife. Cutting a... across my back.
Lucien, my son.
Oh, don't come near me, please. If I grit my teeth. Oh, what is it? Oh. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Anna! Anna, still you weeping?
Lucien, in heaven's name, what is the matter? Oh. Griffo, tear his coat off. Oh. His shirt. See what is the matter.
Oh. Lucien, let me in.
Oh, no. No. No.
Please, Lucien.
No. Oh. Mother. I know what it is. It's Louis.
Louis?
Yes. It's Louis. Oh. He's in danger. Louis's being tortured. Tortured.
Beads of perspiration standing out on his forehead and his hands clenched tight so that his fingernails bit deep into his palms, Lucien de Franchi lay on the floor in a paroxysm of agony, his mother and Griffo standing helplessly by. Make sure you hear the next amazing episode of The Corsican Brothers.